Happy Father's Day!
Happy Father's Day.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! Yay!
There's only one of us that's an actual dad here.
It's Bri! Surprise!
Hey, we're dog daddies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's important.
And cat daddy. Cat.
But the only human daddy.
You're a human daddy.
You know, now that I say it out loud, it sounds wrong.
Now, it does.
Now, I want to say it is actually at the time of recording a few weeks before Father's Day, so if anyone wants to get me a shirt that says the human daddy.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior.
All right, welcome to the show. Once again, we are joined by Mr. Ryan Mackett.
Hello.
Yay.
Mackett.
Oh, wow.
You just spoke in binary.
It was incredibly bad.
Thanks for coming out.
I was told there would be no Dan Rapp.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
This is fun. This is real fun.
Time.
Hey, you're fun. Oh. Wait, that's not how that works.
Let's jump straight to the news.
Current Zero News Flash.
And Bri is the only one that has
news. I'm the newsman. There's only two things. They're not, guess what? They're about a week and a half old because we are recording this in advance. But we need to talk about them.
Yep.
We need to talk about them. First off, the big one. Maybe still the big one by the time you're hearing this. Apparently Robert Pattinson is officially going to be Batman in the next Batman movie directed by Matt Reeves. So they had some screen tests recently with him and I guess Nicholas Holt, who plays like Hank McCoy in the current X-Men ones. The one who's not Frasier. Young one.
Niles.
Niles. That's the
He's
one.
The little kid from About a Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah.
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, I didn't realize that was him.
He's been in some other stuff. There's that Warm Bodies movie. He was like played like a... It's a romantic zombie.
It's a zom-com.
If I'm not mistaken, he's also Tolkien in the Tolkien biopic.
I was he's in something that's actually good. No.
So apparently they had screen tests, like wearing a Batman costume, I assume, and they wanted Robert Pattinson apparently, and I guess it's a 3-picture deal, and at the time of recording he hasn't signed it yet, but it's highly unlikely. It's been offered, so it's like unless he's just like, nah. Like, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Then again, last time he was in a major franchise, he seemed to hate it more than anything.
Yeah.
So, So the internet has been kind of dropping a brick over this one a little bit. Of course, there's the Twilight thing. But nobody hated that more than him.
Yeah.
If you see any interview talking about Twilight, he was just like, I hate this. I'm not saying that exactly, but pretty much. And he since then has, every movie he's been in, like all of his choices have been like pretty serious roles, it seems. And apparently he's been really good. Like he's really got the chops.
Yep.
And he's got that chin, my friends.
You know what? Whatever the choice is, it doesn't matter who was picked, somebody's going to cry.
Michael Keaton was Mr. Mom, you know what I mean? And somebody was Batman.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And I mean, lest we all forget. The whole Heath Ledger, people lost their minds when they found out Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker, and that ended up being spectacular.
He was like a pretty boy. He was like 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You, Heath Ledger. And,
and everyone, I love that movie.
It's great.
It was a great movie. Yeah. And The Knight's Tale and everything, that's fine. Yeah. But when he was cast as the Joker, people were like, what? And then that ended up being amazing. So I'm not going to cry about Robert Pattinson being cast as Batman.
We survived George Clooney.
We tolerated Ben Affleck. I mean, there's...
We're not even going to mention Val Kilmer.
No.
I like Val Kilmer.
I think... correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if we're going to verify this or not, but I'm just thinking it kind of makes sense. Robert Pattinson played the sparkly vampire Edward in the Twilight films, which I believe are New Line Cinema / Warner Brothers. He also played Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter, which is Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And now, apparently, he's Warner Brothers' new Golden Child or Bat Child with Batman. So it's sort of like that. You see that happen sometimes.
So you're saying in like 20 years he will be the voice of Daffy Duck?
It could very well end up being that. But I mean,
he's the next Robert Downey Jr.
It could be.
He could be.
Huh? I mean, if they're going for this,
he's going to be richer than God.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
I'm curious to see which direction they're going to take it. I mean, you know, Tim Burton's Batman was dark, especially like for the time. That was what really got Batman to this dark place. Yeah. And then things got goofy with Joel Schumacher's films, which were essentially big
ridiculous.
Budget. Ridiculous. Ridiculous, big budget. Like imagine the Adam West TV series with a big budget. That's what those two films were. And then it got really dark and gritty and realistic with the Nolan films. And then we got whatever the hell we got with those other ones. with the Batfleck ones.
Ben Affleck just...
yeah. But from what I understand, Matt Reeves is going to be directing this trilogy of Batman films. Mm-hmm. And Matt Reeves famously directed some of the more recent Planet of the Apes remakes, which were all fantastic films. At least for me, I quite enjoyed them.
I've heard nothing but good things. I just haven't.
You got to see them. Yeah, but there's been lots of talk about how they were going to not only focus on like a younger Bruce Wayne, but focus on the aspect of the character where, let's not forget, Batman is the world's greatest detective. And he's never really shone as a detective in any of the big screen versions. Yeah. I am very excited to see how they're going to do that. Like, I want to see a long
Halloween.
There's
the whole fighting side and physical thing and whatever, just having the will of iron and that sort of thing and defeating that. But yeah, the tech side, but yeah, having the mind of...
Exactly.
The one thing that I did like about, like, say, the Affleck thing is him not being, like, super young. You know what I mean?
I really liked Affleck.
But he just was
used poorly.
Very poorly. Like, he a ton of potential, not realized.
Yeah.
I like the idea, like, you know, hey, maybe instead of, like, doing the same kind of thing again and again and again, you could, like, really also bring in the Bat family. And you could have, like, Nightwing. And you could have, like, you know what I mean? But...
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, they're going with a young guy, but it's like, well, he's 33.
That's not that young.
As much as I want to believe that, you know, he's just a couple years younger than me. He's so young. It's like, nah, he could have a Robin. You know what I mean? He could easily have like a Dick Grayson that you could become Nightwing in the next one, and you could have like Jason Todd, and you could really maybe flesh that out throughout this series.
Yep.
That could be cool. Nicholas Holt didn't get it, but I've been saying privately and publicly as much as I can, that's fine, because that dude would be a killer Riddler. I think that guy, give him that bowler hat Riddler to see that guy's face.
Yeah.
That dude could be a killer Riddler. Yeah. And he could play kind of weird, intense.
That would be the villain to use. If you want to do the detective thing and have mind against mind, and it's like solving stuff. It's almost like a Seven, watching Seven, like that sort of like
Twisted,
sort of like, how do you figure this out? Exactly. And Dark Mind, and
that would be my ideal movie.
Yeah.
For me, I would love to see elements of Hush, elements of The Long Halloween, and I really like the Court of Owls storyline. I don't know how if you're skewing for the younger Batman.
You might not have enough
space. But eventually, it could be a cool thing to do.
Yep.
There was, an interview that Matthew Vaughn, if you remember Matthew Vaughn, he directed the Kingsman movies. He also directed X-Men First Class.
Uh-huh.
Apparently I didn't realize this. I don't know if this is a new revelation, but he said that he left the X-Men movies after First Class. I guess he was initially going to be doing like a trilogy.
Yeah.
And he left, because apparently he wanted to end his trilogy on Days of Future Past. And his trilogy on Days of Future Past, did that come out properly?
Yeah.
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 Sounded weird
good.
In my head.
It was good.
And I guess Fox wanted to push for them, like, just, like, right after First Class, sort of, like, it didn't make all the money in the world, but it sort of, like, revitalized things a little bit. Yeah, like, oh, shit, an X-Men movie that's not hot garbage. Okay, let's... And they wanted to go right into Days of Future Past. That was, like, their big thing. Right away, let's go into it. And he was like, no, I want to do, like, another movie in between. I think he was, like, even thinking, like, doing, like, a young Wolverine or something like that. According to him, Tom Hardy is Wolverine, he wanted to do.
Hmm.
Tom Hardy is everyone.
Yeah, all the time. I love Tom Hardy. If he's used properly, it was horrible. Like, Venom was horrible, but he was used horribly.
I was very entertained. Just because he wanted to do that, it doesn't mean it was going to happen. Yeah.
Or what would happen.
Yeah, I mean, release the Snyder Cut. Right into the ocean, I don't care.
Yeah. Whatever it ended up being, he wanted to, like, end the trilogy. Days of Future Past would be, like, the big finale. Yeah. And that's when you would bring it back, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen and all that. So I guess he got very frustrated and left. He had a few key quotes here. And I can't say that he's wrong, necessarily. Mm. A lot of people, I like Days of Future Past, all right. It was pretty decent.
Yeah. We were very excited about it at the time.
At the time. I haven't really revisited it, though. That's the thing. At the time, I was like, oh, neat. But, basically, what he said to them in his words is like, well, what do you do next? Trust me, you've got nowhere to go after doing Days of Future Past. Like, why are you going to do that next and then do more after it?
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
we all saw Apocalypse. Yeah, he's not wrong.
But you know what? It's also how you do it. You can do anything and then continue on to something else. As long as you have the right writer and the right director doing it.
Yeah.
But it's just this... bigger, better, more. That's the approach.
But there's a point where, like, you build up, and then, like, if you have, like, the as big as you can go, man, if that's where you're ending this story, or at least this iteration of the story, yes, absolutely. You should save that for last, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And and I guess he doesn't mince words. I guess his career's doing fine, I assume, because he just said, Hollywood doesn't understand pacing. Their executives are driving 100 miles per hour looking in the rearview mirror and not understanding why they crash.
That is an excellent quote.
Yeah, it's a great quote, and that's what I'm ending the news on.
Welcome to the warm-up!
So, this week, as we've covered, we have a guest, Mr. Ryan Mackett.
Hi!
So, we are going to do a little bit of a sort of interviewee thing with you.
Okay.
We're just going to ask you a couple questions.
All right.
Oh, we're going to barrage you with questions.
No, it's just a couple very easy questions. Starting off, what's your vertical leap?
Not high at all.
Okay, like 4 inches we talking, or?
No, I could probably get, like, a couple feet off the ground.
Really? Okay, that's
probably. Like, I got a lot of... Look at the size of me. I have a lot of leg strength.
From standing, like not from running, from a standing position.
Can I like squat down and then
pop absolutely, up? Absolutely.
You can do pop.
Okay. Yeah, like let's say like a foot off the ground, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Enough.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Pie or cake?
Ooh, this is tough. My wife loves pie.
She ain't here.
I'm a cake guy. Chocolate cake is my thing. Oh, boy.
All right.
If it was a pie, it would be pumpkin.
Would be what?
Pumpkin pie.
It's the closest to
pumpkin
cake.
Pumpkin pie is my absolute favorite pie, so there we go.
Something that could go well with pie. But are you a coffee drinker? Do you drink coffee?
A little bit, yeah.
How do you drink a coffee every day?
Yes.
How many cups?
Usually one.
Just one cup?
Yeah.
Like we're talking a big cup?
No, and I hate to say it, but it's usually like a Tassimo disc of like French vanilla flavored coffee.
See, I like the flavored coffee.
Yeah, I like the flavored stuff.
You can get bags of like Winners or whatever. It's pretty good stuff.
What I have been doing is making like a morning...
Just having a pleasant conversation. Yeah.
I've been having a morning smoothie where... Because I ran out of all my smoothie ingredients.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what am I going to do?
I put coffee in it.
So what I did is I took ice cubes. I took coffee. I took unsweetened vanilla almond milk.
And vodka.
And a scoop of chocolate protein powder.
Ah.
I mixed it up. And let me tell you, it is like a super delicious... relatively healthy, like Frappuccino.
Yeah.
Because the protein powder is like low in carbs and low in sugar and everything.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty delish.
Nice.
Add that to the recipe corner. We need a recipe corner.
It's over there.
Oh, there. Hey. What's Tom Waits doing there?
Just taking recipes.
I'm so hungry. What's the first comic that you remember reading? Think way back.
I can tell you right now, it would have been a Superman comic book.
Mm-hmm.
What?
You think?
Superman.
Oh, man.
Superman?
It would have been a Superman comic book. I remember reading a novel, or it was shaped like a book, but it was comic book pages in novel form.
Okay.
And it was a Batman book. It was called The Legends of the Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's probably on the shelf right there.
Is it kind of like that?
That's literally exactly the book. That's exactly the untold legend of the Batman.
That's where he dresses as Robin and is trained by a detective.
This is it.
Yep.
Wow.
I have vivid memories of reading this book, and I loved it. And I wrote a speech about Batman for grade 4.
Aww.
Or grade 5, I think it was. And I used some lines from this book. But that's
one. Amazing. Yeah, that I that's just pulled that off the shelf.
Merc just pulled that off the shelf, literally.
Surprising.
And immediately. Like, it was right there. Like, it's the most accessible book on this shelf right now. That's incredible.
I was going to get up and grab one of the digests, thinking, oh, is it like that size? And I was like, oh, I have this. That's like this.
Incredible.
Oh, of course it's that.
When you were a kid, did you ever read the Batman one where he goes to Zeller's?
Yes, I do. I probably still have that in my comic bin.
Stampede.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Zeller. Yes.
Yeah.
This came out before.
This is so stupid.
It's amazing.
We need to buy some rope at the Zeller's so we can hogtie the Joker.
At the Calgary Stampede.
We're going to need Zeddy's help on this case, which old chum.
I wonder if they stopped for fries at the restaurant
before. Oh, yeah, the skillet.
They got some fancy sauce.
Ooh. And then get some peach juice.
Yes.
I miss
Zeller's.
Me too.
This episode is Zeller's AF.
What comic book underwear do you own?
Superman underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Batman boxers.
Batman boxers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Nobody ever asked me that question, but that's fine.
Well, we'll interview you later.
If you had, for a 48-hour period, full weekend, had to watch, and you could not sleep, you had to stay up all night, just drink maybe 2 or 3 coffees.
Okay.
Really get yourself messed up. And you had to watch one movie on repeat for the entire weekend, and you had to choose between Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, or Batman v Superman. What are you going with? And you have to watch it again and again and again.
Okay.
To the point of madness.
And again.
To the point of madness. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace fucked me up as a kid. I have vivid memories of watching it at my grandma's place. And when Nuclear Man scratched Superman on the neck and made him sick, I remember crying. Like, that upset me. And we had to turn it off. And then my grandma told me that Superman just bopped him on the head and that's how it ended.
Yeah.
It wasn't until years later that I saw the whole travesty and
where Superman dies.
Where Superman like puts him in the nuclear reactor. So in all honesty, I feel like that movie brings up some really bad memories of being upset as a child.
Yeah.
I feel like
then the other ones, you're upset as an adult.
So the other one, the Batman v Superman, I am eventually going to write a dissertation just like diving deep into that movie and just tweaking it. And I'm by no means a screenwriter or anything like that, but there's a few things that I'd like to tweak. There's a few things I'd like to remove. And I feel like if I had 2 days of watching that movie and taking notes, I would be well prepared to send that off to Warner Brothers and tell them, this is how you should have done it.
Yeah.
So I will watch that. It can't make me any more mad than I already am.
Yeah, you're getting... Oh, man. You're turning this harrowing ordeal into something productive, which that's more than I would do.
I try.
That's great.
How does Citizen Kane end?
Rosebud.
I like it.
You know what? It is a classic.
Okay, now... Say the premier of your province significantly cut your funding.
Jesus.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
Trying
to give me
I know. Any director.
Yeah.
From any point in history, alive, dead, whatever, doing a Superman movie. Who and why?
We're doing Superman.
Yeah. I have other ones, but they're not as good.
You know, I think I will have to go with my idol, Steven Spielberg. I don't necessarily agree with this statement, but I can appreciate where people arrive at it. Spielberg is sometimes accused of being over-sentimental and overly nostalgic, and I feel like especially now, in today's society, he is the best equipped director to do a proper Superman movie, to capture the Boy Scout, the boyishness, the naivety, all of those wholesome aspects that make Superman so good. I think Spielberg would nail it. And especially after watching Ready Player One and just seeing, you know, Spielberg Unleashed is, you know, I'm thinking the Tintin movie and Ready Player One are two examples of like current Spielberg just going to town with action that's easy to follow. Like, I would love to see what he would do with The Man of Steel. So Spielberg.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Do this all day.
McIntosh.
Okay,
go.
What's your drag name? So that would be your first pet and the street you grew up on.
My first pet?
Mm-hmm.
That would have to be Rolly.
Okay.
The apricot poodle, Rolly. Okay. And I moved around a lot as a kid, but my, like, the last place I lived and the place I lived the longest was on Perth. So I guess Rolly Perth.
Rolly Perth.
Yeah, I like it.
So, the Adventures of Rolly Perth.
Rolly Perth is from Newfoundland. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Rolly Perth, the Newfie Queen.
One city you would never want to live in.
I would never want to live in Toronto. I love visiting Toronto. Yep. I think it's a cool place to go to. I have friends that live there, and I love going to visit them. And it's just awesome. But I feel like after a couple of days of all of that, I'm done, and I'm ready to come back to Northwestern Ontario and breathe some fresh air, get out in some nature, and...
Yeah. 7 days is too many days.
7 days is too... 5 days is too many days. I feel like 2 or 3 nights in Toronto is good for me, especially if there's a hockey game or a concert.
You go for a specific thing, you enjoy that, you know, really.
And once I've hit the Silver Snail, Silver Snail is one of those stores I get so excited about going into.
I haven't been as excited.
Well, I can never buy anything in there because I always get so overwhelmed. I'm like, I got to buy something. I'm at the Silver Snail. Yeah. I buy nothing because there's too much. Yeah. There's so much. It's always expensive. And I just, and then I leave. I panic and I leave.
I miss the old Silver Snail. Yeah. Like the old house, you know, that kind of old, like the bigger. Yeah. Like it's nice now. They've got the coffee shop and stuff, but it just feels like there's less in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like there's
not, still a lot. Don't get me wrong.
There's a fair amount there, but it was, maybe we're spoiled and it's weird because
we are.
Hill City has a lot of stuff. I've been to a lot of different comic shops around the country and in the States. That is comparable to any other comic shop I've seen. Like, they have so much stuff.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's got the two floors. And the two floors. Which similar, or like, literally, like, much like Silver Snail, you go up and they had, like, some, like, older toys and stuff like that. You go downstairs, same kind of a thing going on. I'm like, oh, it's just like a...
Reverse.
It's a bizarro.
It's the bizarro.
I miss the window displays. I remember once at the Silver Snail had a window display for... was the Two Towers, when the second Lord of the Rings film came out. And they made this gigantic diorama, Battle of Helm's Deep. But it was to scale with the Lord of the Rings action figures that came out at the time.
That's freaking
I don't know how many orcs.
And those were surprisingly good action.
They were toy biz.
Yeah, that was when Toy Biz was doing Marvel Legends, and it was like...
They were decent.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
Yeah.
At this point, Mackit and the Zero Issues boys discussed early 2000s action figures for another 23 minutes. I have mercifully excised this from the episode. You are most welcome.
What the f***?
Alright, dad time.
The dad decrees it's dad time.
Hey, enough malarkey around here. Stop screwing around. It's time for dad time.
Not angry.
In a new segment
I'm just
I call
disappointed.
Dad time.
Dad time.
Don't touch the thermostat.
Oh.
What are you trying to heat the whole goddamn neighborhood?
It's right there. I'm going to touch it.
Don't you do it.
I won't
I'm serious. Hey.
Dad.
Hey.
Dad.
Stop screwing around.
Dad.
It's dad time.
Can I have some money? Can I have some money?
Yeah.
For what?
Comic books.
You're always interrogating me.
No, you download them in this house. We are thieves in this house.
Steal them from the internet.
It's a house of thieves. It's a house of thieves. So this week, we, in honor of Father's Day, we are trying to figure out who the best dad is. So I think we've all got our picks for this. This is our dad. May I start off?
Please.
So, I picked 5 dads. 5 comic book dads.
That's a lot of dads.
You picked 5.
Five, five comic book characters.
Okay.
And I rated them on a scale of 0 to 2 points. The categories being authority, compassion, ability to play catch with, dependability, how much they would teach, and fiscal responsibility, which I think are the core dad tenets.
Gee, I better never be a dad.
So, and the five characters I picked were Superman, Captain America, Cyclops, Batman, and Spider-Man.
Okay.
Good mix.
So, Superman...
Was Captain America dad?
No, just who I would want to be my dad.
Oh. Less a dad than a daddy.
I thought we were picking actual comic book fathers. Okay.
This is the way we do the show.
All right, then.
We say a sentence and we all go in vastly different directions.
Exactly. That's how it usually happens.
But I plan for picking my best dad, so we're doing it.
All right.
We're doing both.
Go.
We're doing it all.
Do it.
So interestingly, Superman and Batman and Spider-Man all scored a 6 on this.
A six.
So
it was out of a possible 10. I'm sorry, 2 for each. Was it 5?
Yes, 5. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 categories. So the highest score 10. Is 12.
Oh, wow. 12. I see.
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man all got a 6.
That's rough.
I mean, Superman is not very fiscally responsible. Spider-Man is certainly not fiscally responsible.
Batman
gets a 0 on compassion and ability to play catch with because he throws boomerangs.
Good. That's true. Batarangs. But yeah. Good call.
Cyclops scored an 8.
What?
Captain America scored a 9, though. He instead of a 0 or a 2, he got a 1 for ability to play catch with an asterisk next to it because he comes with a frisbee.
That's true.
That's the
most, has to be catch.
It's the most catchable object.
That's true. That's good. Cyclops, so, I'm wondering about reliability. Is that one of them?
Let's see. Dependability. Cyclops got a 1.
Well, then again,
very generous.
He did abandon his child, but then he raised him in the future. So, I mean, I guess it evens out.
So anyway, Captain America is my choice. The pros being that, one, I get to sit in a motorcycle sidecar.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Two, I mean, I would be a immigrant from Canada. And what's more American than an immigrant? That's the thing.
Depends which Americans you ask.
Third pro being that I eventually would get a spinoff book. Anyone else who hangs out with Captain America for a while.
Oh, for sure.
The cons
being... I'm very excited for the Disney Plus series about Kyle.
Yes. Kyle and Bucky.
you're D-Kyle.
Oh.
Look.
He's got that beard.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
He's a crumb bum, but so am I. The cons being just the mere exposure to Nazis on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Well,
they're going to get that on Twitter anyway, growing up in this day and age. So really,
Captain America probably listens to a lot of, like, butt rock. So I'd hear a lot of butt rock.
Butt rock?
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is.
All right.
And also a lot of bat rock.
I am not some peasant. I am a connoisseur of the ill-gotten, and I would never steal something so bourgeois.
And I, you know, as a child of Captain America, but not a genetic child, I would likely get old before he did.
Wow.
Super soldier syrup, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, good call.
Good point.
Interesting.
Cool. So I say Captain America, best dad.
Okay.
Dad America. American dad fudge. Someone else, make your case. Why is your dad better than Captain America? Why is your dad?
There's a lot of good choices for best dad. You know, you got your Uncle Ben's. You got your Pa Kent's. You know, you got your, we have Superman and Batman are on that list, but I think we prove that they're mediocre dads at best. My favorite dad, and it's a touchy subject right now, for me in particular, but I'm going to go with Wally West. Because, he has Jay and Irie, his little kids. Who were miscarried, and then he literally pulled some time travel shenanigans to will them back into being. He literally changed reality to save his kids. And he's done it more than once, and he will do it again. There's nothing he wouldn't do to save his kids, which is a sore subject right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, he was a very positive, I feel like a very positive father figure. my key Wally West period was like the 90s before he had the kid, but he got sort of thrust into this kind of big brother role with Impulse, and he didn't really take to it very well, but he did a really good job.
He figured it out.
He's an empathetic, caring person, yep. And I feel like that's where he leads with, and he, you know, he was raising his kids. They were speedsters too. They were kind of like his little sidekicks, mm-hmm. and, it, you know, it just seemed like they were, he had a great family, and he felt like there was nothing he wouldn't do to protect them and bring out the best in them. He's not the first guy you think of as a superhero dad, but I feel he's underrated.
Just because he's not the first guy you think of, it doesn't mean he's not really good at it.
Absolutely. Very family-oriented guy.
Yeah.
It's a sore subject right now.
I understand. I mean, Tom King says he's not done with him yet.
I don't know, man. Can he be?
Maybe he could be.
Maybe.
No, but maybe he shouldn't be, because we've got to go somewhere from where we are right now.
Please, gods. Hey, anything will be better.
So, for me, I was thinking about this. This is an interesting one, because mm-hmm. I have a very non-existent relationship with my father, mm-hmm. and it's a touchy subject for me. Like, I'm the guy that, like, says, Happy Father's Day, Mom, on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Single parent, all that kind of thing. So, my mind immediately went to two places. I went to surrogate father / father figures, because that's sort of, in my life, since my dad's not been a part of it, I've looked to positive male role models and, mm-hmm. and father figures. And I looked at who would I want to fill that role from the comic book world. So I went to, okay, Uncle Ben right away came to mind.
Yep.
Father figure, excellent role model. That's a good choice. My mind also went to Bruce Wayne. Not so much, like, sort of like the opposite.
You'd have
of
so
like,
many Hot Wheels, though.
Yeah, like, like if Uncle Ben is like the wholesome father figure, then Bruce Wayne would be like the really cool uncle that you realize later is like, oh fuck, like, this guy's nuts.
He's got some problems.
Still awesome. Yeah. Like, I mean, if I wanted to grow up and be trained as an assassin, or not an assassin, as a, you know, a ninja fighter,
as a, you know, you just knock them out. You just knock them out. They're fine.
Yeah. Like, you know,
don't check.
I think for me though, and this is a bit of the Superman love coming through, of course.
Yeah.
But Pa Kent. I mean, you know, and we had in the last episode, we briefly touched on a little bit of Brightburn discussion and subversion of the Superman story. But one of the reasons why Clark Kent, Kal-El, Superman turns out the way he does is because of the values that are instilled in him by his adoptive parents.
Yeah, of
course. And big one is Pa Kent, especially the Richard Donner Superman, the movie mm-hmm. Pa Kent. And I just felt like that kind of role model, especially if you're somebody who's going through something, a change, a difficult time where you're an identity crisis of sorts, I feel like that kind of support and love and reassurance is great. So yep. If Pa Kent could be my dad, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's sort of, that's where I kind of landed on this whole thing. Because it's a touchy subject for me because I don't, you know, I don't have anything to do with my father, and it's an interesting world to, you know, navigate sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I do look to in real life, you know, these people who have acted as father figures. And so, you know, and one of the things that has kind of helped me through are fictional characters too. I would also put Darth Vader on that list because I think that ultimately, I feel like Anakin Skywalker eventually, you know, I feel like his heart was in the right place. You know, he got there.
Eventually.
So I feel like there might be a bit of a parallel. I always kind of thought, like, you know, maybe there's hope for my dad at some point. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever get there. But in my mind, it'd be nice to say, like, well, the evil bastard turned out to be all right. But that's a whole other thing.
He took off his mask and...
And it's you know...
Crusty old white man.
And it's a crusty old bald white man.
Oh, God.
And I think... Not to just go on with it with the Pa Kent, but I love, I always think of like when I was reading the comics when he was, you know, alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something,
yeah.
And there was something very lovely in that, especially like, you know, people play Superman against Batman a lot, but like he often would have to go home and talk to his dad. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's Superman and he still needs to like talk things out with his dad sometimes to get his bearings. And that humanized him so much. And I just love that. like literally them being there and being like supportive parents and kind of running the farm and just sort of like not always being in the middle of things, but just being that rock.
Yeah.
That was very nice. And I missed that.
Okay.
Here we go.
So yeah, there was a lot of different ways you could go with this. And, but I had to narrow it down to, Papa Smurf.
Nice.
Well, I'm leaving. We were having a very serious discussion.
Well, I didn't know it was going to get that serious.
Apologies.
No worries. So he's a single dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's admirable. He basically raised a village.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally all.
Usually that you say it takes a village, but in his case, it's the opposite.
It takes a Papa Smurf to raise a village.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not that he, not only did he raise all these Smurfs to be the Smurfiest that they could Smurf.
Yeah.
But also, like, he's literally the head of the village. You were talking about finances and all that and just responsibilities. The housing, the food. How do they have
mushrooms?
Food?
Don't grow on trees.
Exactly.
He's a solid 12.
We're gonna do the
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Have you seen him?
Centimeters.
Solid 12.
The patience to deal with that many young Smurfs.
The insufferable brainy Smurf.
Yeah.
How are you gonna put up with that every day of your life? Ugh.
Protecting everyone from Gargamel.
That was
on here. Has anyone ever died in that show?
Nah,
no.
I don't think so.
He's protected them. He's made sure.
Wasn't there another one called Brainy, and there were two Brainies, but then later there was just the one Brainy?
Possible.
Well, they just renamed
him. I haven't really read my Smurf encyclopedia, or Smurf scoop.
Strumpfs.
Yeah.
He helps each Smurf find their true potential and their true calling. Each one has its own little thing that is theirs. No judgment. This is what you want to be? Mm-hmm. I'm behind you, 110%.
Yeah.
Let's Smurf the shit out of this.
Where did Smurfette come? Did he create Smurfette, or was that like
Gargamel did it?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, that's quite like a god figure, but apparently that's Gargamel?
That's a Frankenstein thing.
It's an Old Testament god. So I think, if I might wrap this all up in a little bow.
I think you need to grade all of these with your system also, frankly, but that's fine.
Well, no, I'm not going to.
No.
Well, and I take it out, and I'm like, I open my book, and I say, no.
You're grounded.
Go to bed. Love you.
I will.
Go to bed. I think these are all perfectly valid, and we're not going to decide who's the best father figure out of all these characters. I mean, Papa Smurf, who raised dozens of Smurfs. Pa Kent, who raised the most powerful man in the world, in the universe, for Christ's sake, and Christ's figure.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
True.
And I want to say Uncle Ben.
Get out of here!
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Then I remembered, it's Wally West.
Underrated.
Wally West, who underrated in every level as a character.
Yep.
And also, something about America. I think that they would all be fine parents. And really, isn't that what today is all about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say,
sincerely,
I think the best dad of all is right here with us.
Oh.
Our Odin? Dear.
The All-Father.
There is
I'm looking at them like, Lando? Just looking at the toys.
You don't know what Lando's been up to. It's been like 30 years.
Oh, Darkseid, of course.
Yeah, of course, Darkseid. I was going to say, our podcast daddy, Mr. Kyle Lees.
Yay, I'm the human dad.
Congrats.
Our podcast
Thanks.
Daddy.
Yeah.
I like that.
I want the shirt that says human dad to say podcast daddy as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just want to add on the idea of this being a Father's Day show or a parentage show. And, you know, we're still several months away from the rise of Skywalker. Ooh. But the mention of Lando got me thinking, how cool would it be if, like, Lando turns out to be, like, Finn's dad or something? Or, I mean,
It's a big galaxy.
It's a big galaxy.
It's a big galaxy.
And Lando's gotten around.
Well, Lando has, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rey's, are we satisfied with Rey's parentage from explanation
I am.
From The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
If anything, I feel it would be I would really actually kind of hate the message if it turned out that in order to be special, you need to have like a specific bloodline after that, after Last Jedi. I thought that that message with the ending of that movie is like, yes, anybody can be powerful. Anybody can rise up and become something special. I thought that was very important and kind of just what the franchise needs, in my opinion. I really hope they don't walk it back. They're probably going to walk it back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation, like, or at least for me, like, oh, does Palpatine's laugh mean that Rey's a Palpatine? Could that be? Like, are they going to go there? And, like, in the comics
Or is that character just going to be reintroduced because it's like they never die kind of thing?
It could be.
There's prevalence for clones. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Clones are or a thing. Coming back through the Force or something.
He's a red Force ghost.
Could you imagine instead of a blue one?
I'd be into it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I didn't mean to digress.
It just
popped into my head.
That's what the show is. It's like, last minute, I have an idea.
Let's do it.
Speaking of which, I've got a dad quiz.
Of course you do. I mean, I'm excited too. I made a sad sound, but I'm a happy sound.
But this isn't like a who's got the right answer. It's who's got the best answer.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
And we'll try to do this as quickly as possible, even though there's 10 questions. And I will score all of you randomly. what story does Batman read to Damian at night?
Go the fuck to sleep.
Yeah, that's good.
It's probably something about like martial arts training. There is no sleep in Wayne Manor or the Batcave.
They just watch Equilibrium.
Yeah, like it's always there's always a lesson, right?
I would say maybe not read a story. They're gonna watch like old Grey Ghost episodes together because I think he wants Damian to that was like his inspiration in his early days, but also it was like it was kind of a treasured boyish memory, and I feel like Damian hasn't gotten any of that, and he wants to give him some of that.
Good point.
Give him a little bit of a balance.
Okay.
You're not gonna tell us what you're.
You all get a point, but Bri gets two. I'm gonna like sometimes people will get 7 points. It'll just gonna be random. What does Cyclops get Corsair for Father's Day? Do you know who Corsair is? Corsair is his space pirate dad.
What? X-Men comics are wild,
fucked up.
Cyclops and Havoc assume that their parents died in the plane crash that orphaned them.
Right.
But years later, Cyclops' dad meets him when the X-Men are in space and is like, oh, you're my dad. He's like, oh, Scott, you're an adult, and I am a space pirate.
He's the head of the Star Jammers. It's actually kind of fun.
Okay.
It's interesting. Yeah, they're all like alien pirate
like
group.
The Ravagers? Like those like
kind of but not as
a little more swashbuckling.
Yeah, a little more swashbuckling. So like, what does
I thought you were dead. Kind of a thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
So what does Cyclops get Corsair for Father's Day?
A mug that says world's best dad. Because he doesn't really know him that well. It's that or a tie. I don't think he wears ties. Yeah. Mustache comb?
A new eye patch? Does Corsair have both eyes?
He does, but maybe you would get him an eye patch.
A hat? Oh, an eye patch, but I have both eyes.
Not anymore.
I knew that.
Yeah. Ooh, this is a tough one. They're supposed to have a good relationship, right? I don't want something bitter and resentful.
It could be anything. It depends on like what point in that relationship.
It could be it could be teen Cyclops.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
He does have a good relationship.
Yeah, actually, he had a better one.
Here's a stupid idea. He gives him a parachute.
So when they crash.
Because they jumped out. He gave his son a parachute, I think, right?
Hold on to your brother,
and that's what saved their lives. But just something cheesy, like if you ever want to come back down to Earth, he's going for sweet.
Oh, I was like, sentimental,
kind of weird.
Yeah,
yeah, because he's Cyclops and he's a bit weird.
Andy Samberg is Cyclops.
Hey,
okay. Oh, you just got a point just for that.
Corsair is
I believe you.
Thank you.
Son, you want to talk about it later over a game of catch?
I'd like that.
What is Magneto's fatherly advice for Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Don't make out. Ultimate Magneto or regular Magneto?
Sure. Either. Oh, whatever. Boy.
I mean, Ultimate Magneto would be don't make out.
Yeah. Oh, you get a point just for that.
Regular Magneto, fatherly advice. Just don't make out. Stay away from them humans.
Just, listen, if there's any sort of legal issues regarding mutants, just try to just stay, away.
Tell everyone whatever's going on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Just don't get involved because they might make you inhumans, and God, we'd hate that.
Reed Richards takes Franklin for a father-son weekend. Where and what do they do?
They go to space.
Well, yeah.
Probably the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Oh.
I think that's where they would likely go.
I think, honestly, it would be nice if Reed let Franklin show him some worlds, basically. Mm-hmm. He sort of, like, lets Franklin sort of do his thing with his powers. He could, like, create worlds and universes and stuff like that. I think Big Brain Reed would sort of take a backseat and let Franklin teach him a thing or two about exploring.
Cool.
Or at least give him that leadership kind of a thing and kind of just take the backseat and just sort of follow his lead.
Science Museum.
So much science!
Science.
Ooh.
Everybody gets
it. You can make his fingers all long.
Look at this!
I was gonna say, seriously, inside a polar bear, like, inner space, shrink him. But, but Science Museum, I think, is funny.
All right. Logan, Magneto, Batman, Norman Osborn. Who's the worst father?
Oh, Norman Osborn.
Well,
because he's a villain.
I think Logan came around.
He's good to Laura.
Yeah,
he's
very good to Laura. He does have two kids.
He didn't know about Dakin or Dakin.
Dakin.
Yeah, he didn't really know about him, right? That was like a.
Well, he didn't surprise. Know about either of them.
Yeah. Well, that's true. He's an app, yeah, but, you know, when he at least tries
once you know about the kid. Yeah, they can't be faulted for not knowing at all.
Kyle's right. Norman Osborn is a monster.
He was,
Before he was the Green Goblin, he was like a terrible parent.
I agree. Norman Osborn.
He's abusive.
Yeah. We all get that one.
Piece of shit.
I am.
Man, oh, Ryan just got an extra one for that. this one's Norman. For you. What would Cyclops apologize the most for, and to which kid?
Well, what do you mean, which kid?
Well, he's that independent.
There's Cable and
Rachel,
Nate Gray.
I mean, yeah, but Cyclops was more of like a genetic donor than a father. I think he would probably have to apologize to Rachel the most just for forgetting her and that she was around. And that she was a valued member of the team for many years. No, he wasn't there, but he's there now, damn it. He's there now. What is your name?
That is pretty bad.
Would you like to get ice cream?
Can you take off the Hellhound costume?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, boy. Listen, that's a very good one, and, you know, maybe you're right. You should probably apologize to Cable for just fucking ditching out on your wife and child for your ex. That's pretty awful. That's unforgivable.
That's pretty awful.
There was, some Christmas issue of either X-Men or whatever, where, like, there's just, like, a panel of, like, Cyclops giving Cable, like, a baseball glove.
Which is just,
come on.
I'm trying.
It's like he's trying.
Oh, look at his catchability.
That's very true. Catchable. That's true. But it's
and his Trump ability.
He's so bad at this, but he's trying.
Does Groot have saplings? Cuttings?
Seed?
Yeah, how does that...
His seed.
Seed.
Seed of Groot.
Yeah.
Didn't James Gunn confirm that in the movie, like, Groot, baby Groot and teenage Groot, that isn't Groot, it's Groot's son?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's
I remember that's sort of that. That's like, it's not like Groot dies in Guardians of the Galaxy, and that little twig is Groot's son, basically.
Oh.
So
we will also name Groot.
So,
I'm Groot. I'm Groot.
Yeah.
I'm Groot.
Yeah.
And his in Infinity War, when he said "I am Groot" to Rocket, well, you think we covered this before? He was saying "Dad" to Rocket.
Yeah.
So I think we missed out on a good dad. Listen, not great, Dad.
Dadley Cooper.
Yeah.
Dadley Whiplash.
I wrote down Groot, an asexual propagation, a graphic novel by Grant Morrison and Scotty Young.
Would read.
Yeah.
Weirdly, it would read.
Would
read. Yeah.
Would masturbate to.
Well, you'd get some wood.
This is also what kind of show this is.
Gotcha.
When I'm on it. I've already taken a couple of questions out, so this is the last one. All Father Odin or High Father? Who wears a Father's Day tie best?
Ugh. Remind me who High Father is.
High Father is from...
The New Gods.
The New Gods.
Yeah.
He's like the opposite number of Dark Side sort of thing.
Oh. But he's got like kind of Kirby... Well, I mean, I guess they both kind of have Kirby...
Yeah, I don't think you could fit a tie over the High Father's getup to get it around a collar.
But I want to see it. I want it just like literally wrapped around, just awkwardly, like I'm wearing my father's tie.
He's got it around his arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Odin would just wear it around like one eye.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a collar, anyways.
That's true.
He hardly has sleeves.
I say Odin. I just like Odin.
Plus, it'd be fun to see Odin wear a tie.
That would be pretty good.
Okay, that was the final question, and you actually all tied.
Yeah,
we're all the greatest.
We're the dads.
Woo!
I'm glad. I'm glad that it happened this way.
We're all winners. Thanks, Dad.
No problem, son.
Wait, who's the dad now?
I mean,
who's the dad now?
I mean, Rick's the podcast dad.
That's true. Dad's weird.
My dad swears.
My podcast dad's weird.
All right, cool. That's all I got.
Yep, that's all. Thanks. Any of us have.
Happy Father's Day to those them their fathers out there, fictional or otherwise.
Or whoever fills a fatherly role.
Exactly. Let's plug.
So I'm Kyle Lees, and you can check out my stuff at thekylelees.com. I've got art prints and comic book collections. All sorts of stuff like that. And I have to leave directly after this to go drive my daughter somewhere.
Excellent.
Because it never ends.
Another sleepover?
Yes. So what are you guys doing after this? Want to get nuts?
Come on. Let's get nuts.
My name is Ryan Mackett. Thank you for having me again.
Woo!
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for joining us.
I do art, and I write reviews, and I take pictures, and you can find me on Facebook at T-Bay Movie Guy, or you can find me on Instagram at Rymac Creations.
Cool.
Excellent.
Good shit.
Cool. And we have to say that you do
a
crap ton of artwork.
Just, yeah.
Whereas I just finished like a one-month Mythology May thing. Is amateur hour.
It's tough.
Like you're like doing a piece of day for how many months now?
Well, okay. Yeah.
You
kind
of took a bit of the break once you hit this year.
I can't even.
Yeah.
Even like a Mythology May or something like that. I was like, oh, no. I was like, oh, that seems pretty. I'm not doing this.
So far in 2019, I took a couple of months where I only did like a few larger pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few months where I'm doing the daily challenge. But I did need to give myself a bit of a break.
Yeah.
And also,
oh, yeah.
I wanted to do some bigger stuff too.
Yes.
Because the daily stuff, you're
limited. Yeah.
You're limited to how big you can go.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a few larger projects.
No, no, for sure. It's you need to give yourself breaks sometimes.
Yeah.
It's my fatherly advice is self care. Cool. I am Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. I plug social media, but I'm not gonna do that. Don't go on Twitter.
Fair.
Don't do it.
Fair.
I'm Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merk on Facebook, it's MERK. Or Merkanaut, like
Mark.
Astronaut.
Like Mark.
Like Mark.
Like Mark with an E.
Markanaut.
Well, hi, Mark.
and as always, a big thank you to Ocean City Defender.
Yes.
KPK Preston Merkley, who did all the music for the episode, all the interstitial stuff, theme songs, all the fun stuff.
Fantastic stuff.
Check him out at oceancitydefender.ca.com or just Google that stuff.
If we ever forget to give him a shout-out in an episode, we're sorry.
Yeah.
We're sorry.
buys albums so he can feed his kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're listening to us on iTunes,
then find somewhere else, because iTunes is ending very soon.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah,
like the podcast app is still going to exist, but iTunes as a service is...
They're splitting it up into separate apps.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Music app.
Yeah. Does it mean like all your music you bought on iTunes?
We don't know yet. We'll find out on Monday.
You f- kidding me?
I didn't know this at all.
And that's the end of the show.
Yep.
How do you not answer that question immediately? Yeah, pricks. This is what I'm talking about digital. Nah, man.
Yeah, I know.
Nah, man.
Give me my Blu-ray.
I need physical copies of things because they will f*** you.
Yeah.
Every time.